With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, nowhere else, are you going to get the talents of Joe Sebelia, Dan Borowski, and Dom Giordano summarizing the highlight of last night's speech. The lowlight, of course, we'll get to Petty Pelosi trending. But here is our, this took all kinds of workshop, all kinds of talk. Here's our salute to the theme of President Trump as he rolled on last night.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but babe, you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day or mine.
All right, Joe Sebelia, that's our summation of the speech last night. I'll play for you President Trump channeling Ronald Reagan. The best is yet to come. You can never go wrong with that. And that was the entire theme last night. I know all the critics, all the stuff calling it reality TV. President Trump, couple of things right out of the box. Stayed on message. Did not go down the rabbit hole of impeachment and pushing back and all. That's for after today. And I wonder if you like the President Trump of last night. He was intellectually combative in going after these socialists in the deteriorating of America, running America down. Only with their power of the federal government can we have a half-decent life. He pushed back against that tremendously. That was the core of last night's speech, but he brought in all the good things, the highlights. 13-year-old kid who wants to be a member of the Space Force. The reunion of a military veteran and his family. The Medal of Freedom right there with Melania Trump and Rush Limbaugh. How were you feeling when you saw that? We kind of were tipped off a little bit that it would be happening. But he celebrated all these things that are traditional America, that are great America, the economy and all the things that went on. And what did they counter with? Dan, I want to play this, and let's see if people can pick up. I know, I didn't give it to you. I have to say. They were countered by the women in white. And when President Trump mentioned prescription drugs, that he's on that, wants to do something about it, they were chanting HR3, HR3. Do you think America knew what the heck they were chanting? It was horrible. And the white thing, how about something new? I mean, how many times can you go to that? It's like a uniform with Nancy Pelosi, the whole deal. All right, we'll get to Petty Pelosi. The AP says it was four rips. Now, of course, some media sycophants say empowerment again. This is what women should be doing. I'll even tell you, and we got a great prize today, our side question. We saw this, and immediately I saw hashtag classless, classless act. Nancy Pelosi may have gotten a bump with the shenanigan the last time with the applause reaching over. But this time around, this did not play well. This did not play well at all. In any place that I look today, and people, what they're going to see, those that don't digest the whole speech, they're going to see reaction that is not going to be pleasant among independents and others. Of course, the bases of both parties. Here's what Stephen Colbert said last night. He celebrated what Nancy did. Here's how it's being taken by those that are in the Colbert camp. Does America see this ripping up this speech? Because I'll play you Dana Perino and what she said, and I think it's a pretty good comeback. Here's Colbert, though. His reaction, he couldn't get enough of this.
One thing I think we can all agree on is that, my fellow Americans, the state of our union was long. But finally, Trump ended the speech, and Nancy Pelosi did this. Yeah. She ripped him a new one.
All right. So, you know, I know it's Nancy the Ripper today. I kind of like petty Pelosi. This was pretty petty. And what was Nancy doing shuffling through the papers? It was like she was looking for some Botox ad. Oh, cut right Botox. Or was it a drink special? Do you see she kept on holding up the papers and looking through each part? I don't know if it's the dentures or the pursing of her lips, if she was she had a gumball in there or something, but something was going on with that throughout the thing. What you have to do, it's tough in those things. You want to look like you're alive, but you don't want to look like you're making too many distortions there because the camera's going to pick up everything. Yeah, I did see the Dean of Decency last night, decked out in white as this went on. And Democrats are in trouble because Trump had so many emotional moments last night. Now, if they don't want to stand up and applaud for Rush Limbaugh, then, yeah, they get a pass on that with their base and everyone else. So, you know, Rush has pushed back on them, all that stuff. But when you don't stand up for that single mom and what was it, a fourth grader, the Philly girl, when the president announced that she'd be getting a full scholarship and talked about charter schools and talked about freedom on that, you got a problem. That does not look good at all. That's a time where I'm advising you got to stand up. You can't sit down on that. Pelosi, Dan, also, I didn't see any commentary. I picked up on this. She kept on talking about two things with this. We have her with the ABC cut. We'll play that in a moment. But she said the speech was dirty, you know, with this dirty speech. Here's what Dana Perino said to counter that, that I thought of right away is a great counter. This dirty speech, the paper you're ripping up. Here's Dana Perino breaking down the speech afterwards.
You got the Iowa caucuses last night, the beginning of her party's presidential run, which did not go well. You look at the fact that initially she said that she didn't want to do impeachment. She said it's too divisive. It's not going to be politically right for us. So now she got stuck with it. Tomorrow he's about to get acquitted, and he has the highest approval numbers that he's had in a long time. So, you know, everything is frustrating her. To this extent, I suppose, Dana.
Well, she could have possibly had the upper hand a little bit in the conversation post-speech because she could say, I reached out my hand to the president and he ignored me or didn't see me, whatever, but she had the upper hand. But now, the ripping up of the speech, I think there were names in there of people who had died, American citizens who had died. I mean, I think it was really disrespectful, but also super unsophisticated and not like her. And I think that when she rips it up, she also might be showing some frustration to her caucus because she looks over at them. I don't know if it was in solidarity, but might have been in frustration. Like, I told you, we should not have done impeachment, and here we are. And he's got the wind at his back, and now it's a choice between him with this great economy and us, which we can't get our act together.
Well, the point I wanted there with Dana Perino is this. You're ripping that up, and the White House and the campaign and others are saying, rightfully so, right out of the box, there were names in there of a 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman. There are names in there of people who have died in one way or another, service to the country and the like. And you're ripping that up. I know you could say, oh, come on, Dom. Well, she called it a dirty speech. She also said something else. Here's Nancy Pelosi talking about maybe to ABC, this was brief, why she ripped this up.
Why did you rip the speech up, Madam Speaker?
Because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternative.
the courteous thing to do, considering the alternatives. Was she going to hit Trump with something? Was she going to use it in some other way, the paper or something? Is she referring to toilet paper? I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I took it, was a reference to toilet paper. Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. That's exactly how I took it.
Referencing toilet paper. Well, I could have used it for that.
Why did you rip the speech up, Madam Speaker?
Because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternative.
Wow. Courteous thing to do, a toilet paper reference. The media should have followed up with that with more questions on that to get to what else could you have done with it? All right, 855-839-1210. Now, the close of the speech was very Ronald Reagan-esque with President Trump. And it is exactly the type of thing that I thought Trump would do, and I'm so glad that he did it. Rather than getting into impeachment and a fight with them, he was fighting with them intellectually. Here's what he said. And tell me, wherever you are, if this doesn't bring you forward, if you have patriotic blood in it, if that blood is pumping, even Democrats, not the progressives, but Democrats that are thinking about things, they got to agree with this. They got to agree this is stirring and it's Reagan-esque. Morning in America again. Here's the close of President Trump's speech.
This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans. We are pioneers. We are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world. And we changed history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
Now, look, Trump didn't do that as well as Ronald Reagan. I make that. If you think that's a criticism, you can call me and tell me. Nobody can do that like Ronald Reagan, the head moving, the voice and all that. But that's exactly what they can't say. Right there is what they don't want to say, what they don't believe in. Could Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, could Joe Biden even deliver that? No, they don't believe that. They don't want to say it. They don't even want it to be true, if it could be true. You know, there was a great comment I read yesterday, Wall Street Journal previewing the speech, saying that sometimes the American people have to look in the mirror and face truths that are pleasant. Get it? Not unpleasant. They're not all unpleasant. A lot of them are pleasant. And that's what Trump reaffirmed last night. I wonder if you've never called before. You move by that at the end. Isn't that the way that you think? And if you don't think that way, aren't you a loser? Aren't these losers, if they don't believe in that America, the best is yet to come? That gets into what I want for DJ and Luke in the future. That gets into what you want for your kids. That's what we all strive for. It's not over. Well, you know, all that stuff, everything was good, has an ending. They want that to be the case. They want a pathetic America. Go figure why. Why would anyone want to dream on that? But that's a dream of progressives. 855-839-1210. That was very, very Reagan-esque. Without Reagan's other abilities, but with Trump's background and all the rest. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. We're loaded up. And at the end of your call, we'll get into this a little bit more. I think that was it's going to be seen as a classless act by Nancy Pelosi. There's already a hashtag, classless. It's getting a lot of action on Twitter. Who has class? When you think of that, who has class? We'll see what people, Dan and Joe, come up with. Living or dead, you know, we don't need just living. We'll broaden it out. Maybe even a fictional character. I'm okay with that. That you say has what you think is class. Was that a classy move by Nancy Pelosi? Hey, she was basically saying, I agree with Dan. I could have used it for toilet paper. I didn't. So there's that. What a great night last night. And the debacle continues in Iowa. We have a lot more on that. Mayor Pete's still in the lead, but it's convoluted. I think Bernie's the one being robbed, and he really won. There's more on who created this app from hell. And they have fingerprints of the Democrat establishment and Clinton written all over them. All right. So, Dan, let's hit people so they get some fodder here. When you think of classy, coming off classless Nancy Pelosi, who do you think of?
I'm going to do a 180 here from our conversation during the break, because a great one that I'm going to piggyback on from Twitter from John Doe.
Yes.
Is the epitome of class, Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn's a great one. Yes, real life and also in film. Audrey Hepburn is seen as the epitome of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It's a little outdated. Can I give you a more recent one?
Yes.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Okay, you see, Tom Hanks is classy.
I do. I think he's a classy gentleman, and I think the nation as a whole sees him as a very classy person, just because they used him as the barometer of class when dealing with Ricky Gervais's opening speech at the Golden Globes.
They did. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, I would say Tom Hanks played Mr. Rogers. I think of Mr. Rogers as classy beyond belief.
It's a great one, too.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not regally dressed. He's not Cary Grant or whoever you would say today fits that role in a rom-com, but he's classy. When I think of classless, by the way, Nancy Pelosi's up there. You know, it's moving to the top of my list, though, really, is De Niro. De Niro really, really has moved. I used to be somebody like Michael Moore, you know, just showing up like a guy who just rolled out of bed, the whole thing and all. But De Niro's near the top of my list. All right, so we're looking for classy. Who would you say has class? Be the first one in. We have tickets to go to the Great Down and Derby wine tasting, the Derby festivities. That'll all be coming up. Let's go to Chris. Start off in Feasterville. And Chris, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Chris, good morning.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Thank you. I think she should have put the speech up on eBay with one of her pens.
Yeah. where was the pen during the course of it? Can you imagine the chatter here? You know, the last time she made the move, clapping and moving over, that was a good defensive move. But to think she's going to rip it up and call it dirty when he celebrated America, they must have thought he's going to go off in the impeachment. And she still went ahead and did it, even though he didn't do anything like that.
Yeah. Did you see at one point she was annoyed with somebody in the balcony and she gave one of those hand gestures to her?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I think the white outfits have worn themselves out a little bit too, Chris. They don't, not so flattering the 50th time around here. So who has class to you?
I can't remember her name. It was the only one woman who was in white that stood up and clapped for a particular thing that he said. I can't really remember what it was about, but she was just by herself on that side of the room.
Okay, there was. You mean the senator
throwing daggers at her?
The senator that was in purple, Sinema from Arizona. She's a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was her. Yeah,
in purple.
One woman standing in the middle of everyone sitting down.
Yes, and she was surrounded by Gillibrand, who is beyond one of the, and Kamala Harris. They were standing there with Sinema. And the two of them, when she stood up, and it's in purple, like, look at me. I think she's going to vote today to acquit President Trump. I think Manchin's probably going to vote to do that, too. That's the other thing that happened last night that was really good by Trump, by that performance last night. What happened here is he's going to get at least two, maybe three Democrat senators to come over to his side and acquit on this. And around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whenever the final vote comes down tonight, then you'll be able to say it's bipartisan. I'll be shocked if he doesn't get two. And Republicans are going to be 100% to acquit. So 855-839-1210, you get a line. Want to play you, before we take more calls, here's Van Jones. And it's a little bit long, Dan. We'll see. Maybe we have to cut or maybe we'll continue with it. He saw something last night that just jumps out at you. Now, I'm a little bit of a skeptic. Don't go crazy with some of these people. Don't drink the juice. Don't get nuts that Trump's going to get 25, 30% of African-American voters. We've established the baseline here. If in swing states like Pennsylvania, he gets 12 to 14%, and given the cast of characters, if African-American voters, say, in Philadelphia are not inspired to come out in the Obama-like numbers, that's going to lock up Pennsylvania. He doesn't need 25 or 30%. That's not going to happen. There's still so much media and all that stuff. He got 8% the last time. He gets a tick over 12. That's the math. They lose. Listen to Van Jones last night breaking this down on CNN and saying this was a big warning shot from President Trump.
I think the last 24 hours have been a big wake-up call for Democrats. That's what I think. The Iowa caucus was a debacle. And this was a very strong speech, and it shows what he thinks he needs to do to win. And I think we have to be very clinical about this. I think you're exactly right. He knows he's got to give a lot of red meat to his base, and he gave it. From religious liberty, abortion, all of it, the military, et cetera. But he's doing something else, and it has to do with how he's going to manage race in this thing. And there seems to be a trade-off between the Latinos and the African-Americans. That's what you see. He went hard on the sanctuary city stuff. Mm-hmm. That is very, very disturbing. It turns out sanctuary cities are actually safer than non-sanctuary cities. The Cato Institute, which is libertarian, has come out and said that immigrants are committing less crime.
But Dan, stop there. Stop the tape for a minute. Okay, Van Jones, you're useful in this. Can't let that go for it. That's not true. The Cato outfit is a group that wants to bring in illegal people up and down the line. They're more than libertarian. They're the extreme of let's bring in cheap labor. All right, let's continue.
Which is libertarian has come out and said that immigrants are committing less crime. So for some reason, he thinks that doubling down on the anti-immigrant piece is a big part of his thing. At the same time, a warning to Democrats, what he was saying to African-Americans can be effective. You may not like it, but he mentioned HBCUs. Our black colleges have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about the criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones.
This, school choice. He talked about the school choice. Yeah.
Listen, wake up.
He doesn't have to be effective.
Exactly.
He has to be effective to move margins and key states.
And the thing about it is, and I think that we got to wake up, folks. There's a whole bubble thing that goes on. We say, well, he said S-hole nations, therefore all black people are going to hate him forever. That ain't necessarily so. And I think what you're going to see him do is say, you may not like my rhetoric, but look at my results, look at my record to black people. And if he narrow casts that, it's going to be effective, which means as we move through this primary process, we've got to pay a lot more attention both to what's going on with the Latino vote. Are we going to get a benefit in terms of having them respond? And with the black vote, is there going to be a split off, especially for black male voters? We got to be clinical about this stuff. We get so emotional about it. That was a warning to us, a warning shot across the bow of Democrats that he's going after enough black folks to cause us problems. It's not just the white suburban voters. He's going after black votes.
That part is absolutely, and Trump is one of the few Republicans that can do that. Just don't get all crazy with thinking you're 25 and 30. You sound ridiculous. This is a margin game. This is third and two, not third and eight. And that's what he's doing here beautifully. And I think it's going to succeed for the reasons I laid out. All right, Dan, we want a little clarity on our side topic question.
Just got a few questions on Twitter, whether or not we're accepting fictional characters.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Oh, I definitely agree that we should.
Yeah, yeah, fictional characters, the living dead, we'll take them all. And we've had some great ones suggested. We'll get Joe's a little bit later. But I don't want to take any of them off the board. I took Mr. Rogers off. You took Tom Hanks off. And who was your other one?
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Yes, Audrey Hepburn's a good one. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. A lot to break down with this. By the way, our eye was still on. We got a lot of sound from last night's Abington School Board meeting. Remember that? Stunning how many people showed up and are interested in it and waving signs, "We support Abington police." All right. I'd like to see also general signs, Blue Lives Matter, too. But I'll give you some of the sound of the woman in question, and a listener sent me an editorial she wrote years ago, this cop hater in the suburbs. Bottom line for me, it spoke well. The suburbs are not Philadelphia yet. People didn't like it. In Philadelphia, they might have applauded her for getting it said. I'm serious. So much to bring you. Van Jones broke it down pretty well. The president going after illegal immigration, going after any number of things that the base of Trump supporters want, but also offering appeal that other Republicans haven't figured out to do. Question for you, though. Mike Pence is in town today. I'm not sure if it's Catholic Schools Week or school choice, or they're marrying the two together, okay? I don't think school choice is a winning issue. I mean, I got to tell you straight up, strategically, I think some of the other things the president talked about are. I don't know why that is. This ought to be, I mean, how many times have Republicans back to George W. Bush have beaten the drum on this? This ought to be the liberating issue. There are 50,000 people on the list in Philadelphia to get into charter schools. And this Wolfman governor in nowhere in a galaxy far, far away, all he does in his budget and everything else is try to check and stop charter schools. They're fighting this battle. What does it take to break through with people going to these rotten big city schools? What does it take to break through? But I don't think it's an issue that moves the needle. I mean, it's fine to do. It's the right thing to do. But it frustrates me for years that this is just not something that reverberates in the way that it should. So Democrats, though, did not stand up last night. We had this fourth grade girl there with her single mom. It couldn't be more appropriate, you would think, for Democrats to stand up and applaud. Listen to President Trump, and Dan, I may stop this at some point, but awarding this fourth grader this federal scholarship program and saying, we have to do more. We have to do more with these kids. Not one Democrat applauded this. A fourth grade kid in a rotten school. Where did Madeline Dean, somebody tell me out there, what school did Madeline Dean's kids go to, I wonder? The Dean of Decency, Mary Gay Scanlon. I want to know high school, college, and all the rest of it. Did they have to be in these shooting gallery schools? Did they have to go through metal detectors? Did they have to have inferior stamped all over this stuff? So here's one little girl that escaped, and the Democrats are pleading, drag her back! Drag her back, Dan! Don't let her escape! Don't applaud! Don't let her escape, because if she escapes, people inside might think, hey, we can break out here too. You got to go with these people that are offering us the key to get out of prison here. The others are saying, we don't have enough money for this prison. We're going to make the prison better. Here's one that escaped last night. Here's how it sounded.
The next step forward in building an inclusive society is making sure that every young American gets a great education and the opportunity to achieve the American dream.
Applause.
Yet for too long, countless American children have been trapped in failing government schools. To rescue these students, 18 states have created school choice in the form of opportunity scholarships. The programs are so popular that tens of thousands of students remain on a waiting list. One of those students is Janiyah Davis, a fourth grader from Philadelphia. Janiyah. Janiyah's mom, Stephanie, is a single parent. She would do anything to give her daughter a better future. But last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children. Janiyah and Stephanie are in the gallery. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with your beautiful daughter. Thank you very much. But Janiyah, I have some good news for you, because I am pleased to inform you that your long wait is over. I can proudly announce tonight that an opportunity scholarship has become available. It's going to you, and you will soon be heading to the school of your choice. Now I call on Congress to give 1 million American children the same opportunity Janiyah has just received. Pass the Education Freedom Scholarships and Opportunities Act, because no parent should be forced to send their child to a failing government school.
Well, I like that phraseology, too. He didn't say public school. He said government. Yeah, that's what it is. No Democrats, all those ladies in white. Nobody stood up. Nobody cheered this. They don't want to hear that. They don't. They just think the answer is trillions of more dollars into the failing government schools. But somehow or another, that alone, for parents, particularly single moms, ought to move the needle. We'll see. It's worth trying, along with the other things the president's doing. All right, let's go to some callers that have been waiting here with Dom. Joe in Marlton. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Two quick things. One that a lot of people didn't realize is when Trump was talking about socialism, he had the leader from Venezuela there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we realize
how
it. Absolutely.
Cool is that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
that was a master's
cool
stroke. Yep, and even some Democrats applauded him. CNN, Joe, to your point, called him the opposition leader. He's not an opposition leader. Yeah. He's a duly elected leader. That's what he is.
Exactly. And number two, if I was Trump, there's no way I would have shaken Pelosi's hand. You know, to be a phony, you know, in front of everybody and knowing that, well, sit up tomorrow, I'm going to vote to impeach you. I mean, everybody sees through it.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It was deflected pretty quickly. I agree. That's how it could be seen, where you rip up the speech right in front of anybody. Well, then you're taking a different tactic. Who's classy to you, Joe?
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Interesting. Why Kevin Costner?
Well, you go back, he's just like a classy guy. And even way back when we made the movie with Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And she passed away. He went to her funeral. Even his speech was classy.
All right. Kevin Costner. We've got some great ones here. How about on Twitter, Dan? You got to hit me with a couple more.
A couple good ones on Twitter. One that keeps coming in over and over again is, should I give it?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yes.
Melania
yes.
Trump.
Yes. Yeah, I knew we had to take that off. We told people I knew that was going to be the number one. Well, she's regal. We're bearing the whole thing at all. Yes.
Classy Freddie Blassie.
Classy,
remember him from the WWF?
Wrestling, yes. Yep. Freddie Blassie was very classy. Yes.
Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn, and Grace Kelly.
Yeah, Grace Kelly, Philadelphia connection. All right.
Hey, do you think Trump's move last night to not shake her hand was an intentional one?
Yes, but he did it in a subtle way. You know what I mean? He knew what he's going to do. He was kind of putting the thing on there and moving on. He didn't make a big deal out of it.
Because I watched the video over and over again, and you can see his head's turned towards Pence when she puts out her hand for the handshake.
But I think he was thinking that's going to happen, and he didn't want to make a public – if he messed up and was facing her and had to do it, I think he would have shaken her hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was intentionally, though, knowing she was going to do that, he was countering by moving on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was subtle enough where you didn't make a big deal out of it versus standing there and ripping the thing up. I was waiting for him to throw it up in the air over Trump's head.
Yeah, I know that's been a figment of debate all evening, so I just want to get you on record whether or not you thought it was intentional or not.
Yeah, I think he was ready for it. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to defend and say it was unintentional. You know, he intentionally was not going to get drawn into it. And that's a tough one because, you know, it is phony in that situation. People don't like that when it's that, you can just kind of, maybe a wave. Maybe a, hey, you know, from a distance is the thing to do rather than a handshake. Be like me and Jim Kenny. Would I really expect Jim Kenny to shake my hand?
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.